Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good, good. Just going to put my little stopwatch on. Not expected to speak any longer than 25, 30 minutes, you'll be pleased to hear. Honour you all with your time, showing up to hear. One body, many parts. I'll be speaking from 1 Corinthians 12. I'll be reading from there shortly. And first thing I would say is good morning, my week messes. Those of us that were here the other week when I inadvertently misread the scripture, instead of saying weaknesses, I called you weak messes, which I think sometimes is a little bit more appropriate, isn't it? I sometimes feel more like a weak mess than anything else. But God is good. God is good. And thank Vicky for leading. Give it up for Vicky and the worship team. Yeah. Not just in leading, but what you set up to enable me to speak this morning, not only just now with our time of prayer, but also in the Journey newsletter. And I'm going to read from that as a kind of preamble into what I want to share. And you should all know this off by heart, because I'm sure you've all read the Journey newsletter. So I probably don't need to read this, because you could read it back to me now, because it's kind of etched in your mind and on your heart. Yes. Looks of terror all round. Vicky wrote this: as we move into a season of welcoming new students, let's be praying for new and returning students. Let's pray for our student team. Student team, who are you? Emily, Pete, Emma, Joel, anybody else? Aaron, fantastic. Always a quiet one, Aaron. Always a quiet one. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. As they seek to build friendship and community with students and welcome new freshers. The students arrive over this weekend. We always receive feedback that one of the things students love about the Journey is building friendships with people who aren't students as well as students. Exclamation mark. And being able to get stuck into the life of the community. So none of us are too old or too anything to not be an important part of making new students feel at home, looking forward to the new people who will join us. I don't see that as a statement, I read that as a declaration. Come on. Looking forward to the new people who will join us, whether they're students, or whether they're from the community, or whether they're friends or family, we always look forward to new people joining us. So for some months now, since last September, those of us that work at Royal Holloway have been preparing for this weekend. Almost all of the staff have been focusing on what we call welcome weekend or start of session. And although this isn't the start of a new year when we traditionally give our attention or our focus to what's going to happen, for us who work in a college, this feels like new year. For those of you who are students, have been students and understand that dynamic, this pretty much feels like where the year begins. This is when it all starts to happen all over again. And I have a real sense of anticipation this year as we pray and look forward to what God's going to do in our students. Not to the detriment of anything else that God is doing, but I have a real sense of anticipation. There's no better buzz than next week being a member of staff and walking round and just looking for subtle, unobtrusive, gentle ways to help students. Whether it's, where's this, where's that, who are you, can you help me, please, where's my mum, where's my dad? It can feel like that, so that's just me, never mind them. But just being involved in that process, it's a real privilege. And we've been focusing on the last year with the new chief operating officer in the college to look at those distinctive visions and values for every member of staff to make every student, every new student or returning student or prospective student feel from the moment they turn up at Royal Holloway, this is my place, this is my home. And that's my passion for the Journey. So every time somebody walks through the door, they might feel like a stranger for the first time, but by the time they've left, they felt connected. They feel the love. This was going to sound wrong. We're going to say you guys are great lovers. Obviously, that's hypothetical for the exception of one person in the room. I won't embarrass. That's Denise, by the way, not Jonathan. Just in case any of you, any doubt at all, because I know my gaze looked like that. Jonathan's sitting there. I'm looking at Denise, Jonathan. Yes. So stop digging. Anyway, but that little phrase that Vicky put in there, that none of us are too old or too anything to not be an important part of what's going on. Whether it's here in the journey, or whether it's where you've been in San Diego, or Japan, or wherever God has taken you, or wherever you've been in Thailand, all of these places, wherever it is, in Scotland, God is still not letting go of you and reminding you that you are too important not to be a part of what's going on. You are not disqualified from anything that God's doing. It's a fantastic message, isn't it? Fantastic message. So I'm going to read quite a long portion of scripture from 1 Corinthians 12. And I'll be reading from the Message translation. And you know, sometimes when I get up and stand here ready to talk, there are times when I can read from the Word of God and I just feel like I can sit down and let the Word speak for itself. And this is one of those passages where it really does, if we allow it, we allow the Word of God to really settle in our hearts and minds, that will begin to resonate with what we're all about here as a community of faith. So let me read, so you can read along with me, you can close your eyes, you can get up and make a cup of coffee, but all I ask is, as long as you're still listening and taking these words in. So what I want to talk about now is the various way God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. Remember how you were when you didn't know God. Led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everybody else did it. It's different in this life. God wants us to use our intelligence to seek to understand as well as we can. For instance, by using your head, you know perfectly well that the Spirit of God would never prompt anyone to say, Jesus be damned. Nor would anyone be inclined to say, Jesus is Master, without the insight of the Holy Spirit. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God himself is behind it all. You get a bit of a message there that God's in it everywhere, isn't he? Come on. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. And then there's a list. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretations of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. You can easily see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells. But no matter how many parts you can name, you are still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots. But then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his Spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we used once to identify ourselves, like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less significant. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, I'm not elegant, like hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to this body, would that make it so? If ear said, I'm not beautiful, like eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head, would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. And you can go on and read a bit more from there. But for the sake of wanting to share a bit more, I just leave you with that kind of simple metaphor that the exercise of various spiritual gifts by members of the church is compared to the functioning of different parts of the body. And I don't want to labour this point, I don't want to be too dogmatic, but it's just something that more and more has caused me to think why I exist, why I do what I do, and what is important about that existence now that I've found Jesus. And it's really this one truth. It's an obvious statement to most of you, you probably all realise this, that the church and its members, wherever they gather in the world, wherever they find themselves, must utterly and entirely be an expression of the abiding manifestation of the Holy Spirit, wholly present and being exercised in and through each and every member of the body of Christ to reveal and advance the kingdom of God. Each one of us, utilizing the gifts that God has given us, spiritual gifts to spiritual people for a spiritual purpose to advance the kingdom of God. Why do I restate that so forcefully? Because if that doesn't exist, if there isn't that supernatural element to why we gather, then it means nothing. There has to be at the core of our being a desire to move in more supernatural ways. Whatever that means to you this morning, I'm not going to list it, but it is important just to press that point home a little bit more. Because if it wasn't here, you know, Vicky was sharing, you know, spirit fall down. We want the Holy Spirit to invade our lives. We want him to permeate everything that we say and do as much as possible. If the Holy Spirit hadn't been sent as a gift through the Father from the Son to us, what would be the point of our meetings? We could probably go anywhere else and have a great time. We could probably connect. There's even a warning in the book of Revelation to the church at Ephesus not to lose their first love, because if they didn't get things right and get back to where they should be, Jesus would remove his lampstand, remove his presence, the Spirit wouldn't be there. The warning is, would we even notice? Would we notice that the Spirit has left the building? Glad to say that we're not in that position. We're still pressing in. We're pressing in for more of the Holy Spirit. We're trying not to outdo one another in that sense. We're trying not to be bigger than one another, having bigger prophecies, having bigger words of knowledge. But that was the dynamic that Paul was dealing with in the church at Corinth. It was all getting a little out of hand. It was a big church, and everybody was trampling over one another to be something bigger or more important. We don't have that problem in the journey. We're in a unique position where we all gather around one another, actually try to remind one another just how important we are. We have a different kind of problem. In Paul's church, and he was talking to the Corinthians, they had the problem where everybody knew how big they were, how important they were, how qualified they were. Part of our challenge here as leaders and for ourselves, and I speak to myself, is I have to keep reminding myself that I am important, that I am big, that I am qualified in Christ Jesus. You are too. Yes. Amen. You are qualified. You are important. You are a person of worth and value. Not just because what Jesus has done for you, because you bring that worth and value here. I look back on the lives of people here, and I've got people come back today that really excites me. We've got Andy Mack. See, Emily, I haven't seen you for a little while. Anna, Luke and Diana, others, it's great to welcome you back to your home. I hope this is what you feel. You might have gone away. You might have travelled the world. You might have been submerged in the deepest oceans. But there's still a home for you here in the journey. There always will be. Come on. Something special. Woo! Something special about this place. It's unique. It's unique. Let's not allow it to become something dry and bland. Amen? Let's keep it unique. Yeah. And I'm going to speak to some people here, not directly, but hopefully the Spirit of God will take some of my words and speak to you. But there's a funny quote here about how sometimes people walk away from a church because they feel that they don't fit in. They look at the church, they wander around, they might go two or three times, excuse me, and they say to themselves, well, this church is too rich for me. This church is too young for me. This church doesn't care about worship or children, blah, blah, whatever. Just add something to that label. And they walk away. Here's a question for anybody in the church this morning. If you've been there or understand what this feels like, have you ever felt, or perhaps you even feel now, you know what? I still don't feel like I fit in. Perhaps you need to change that and think, you don't feel like you fit in because perhaps you've got something unique to offer here that we need. You're the part of the jigsaw. Instead of thinking that you're going to put your jigsaw piece somewhere else, take what you feel and think, I can use this here. If there's a lack here in the journey in a particular area of service or community or workplace, you could be part of the answer. So whenever you're feeling like you don't quite fit in, you could be just the person that we're looking for. Yeah, pray about that. Think about that. If you're feeling that right now, just take that away to think about and pray about. So we're down to the 10-minute mark. Give you a countdown. Yeah. Thinking back to the days of Israel. Who went to the pitching this year? Yeah. There's almost that. Yeah, I went. It was me. It was me. I know you had a good time, really. Yeah. But when the tribes of Israel were moving all over the place in searching for their promised land, their land of promise that God had offered them, that was the mother of all pitchings, wasn't it? Over 600,000 people packing up their tent and moving on, going a little bit further together, putting their tent down, putting it up. I mean, I just couldn't even get my head around that. What that community must have felt like, over 600,000 people living together, breathing together as one amazing community, all headed. One body, one heart, one spirit, a community of faith moving into the promises of God. I want to elaborate on that a little bit. In Colossians 2, Paul says this again. Paul had a lot to say to the church. Yeah, I know. For most of you who read your Bible 3 or 4 times a day, you're all over this. You know exactly what Paul's been, I'm speaking to myself here. You know exactly what Paul's been saying to the church. But he says this in Colossians, and I love this as a move towards some kind of conclusion. He says this, it's more of a prayer than a statement, but he says, Colossians 2, verse 2, this is what I have asked of God for you. That you will be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love, and that you will have the rich experience of knowing Christ with real certainty and clear understanding. I think it's just worth reading again, yeah? This is what I have asked of God for you, that you will be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love, and that you will have the rich experience of knowing Christ with real certainty and clear understanding. And that word knit, we kind of translated it into the King James, but it's an ancient word, knit, which actually means knot. And simply, it means something that's woven or tied together to make something for a unique, specific purpose. We are being knit together, knotted together in a unique way by God, specifically for such a time as this. Each one of us. near or far, we've been woven together to be part of God's purposes, individually and collectively. Amen. Now there's something else that I need to say, perhaps to somebody, and you were woven together, all of us were woven together in our mother's womb, stitch by stitch, joint by joint, tissue by tissue, bone by bone, precisely and lovingly. And I need to say this to some people here. It might be you. I want to release you from the guilt of being told that you were a mistake, or the guilt of saying to somebody else that they were a mistake. It's a heavy thing. You are not a mistake. Anybody here is not a mistake. Even if you've said that in anger, or said it to somebody else, a child or a relative, release you from that guilt today in Jesus' name. You have been woven together, knit together in your mother's womb. You're a precious piece of God's workmanship. And that word workmanship, it means poem, poetry. You're a beautiful expression of the creativity of a living God. Come on. That's good news, isn't it? Each and every one of us is a beautiful expression of the creative nature of a living God who is all over you with love, all over you with passion, all over you with purpose. It's good news, isn't it? Come on. So the best expression that we can be to others, and that's the whole theme of our talk, is to choose individually and collectively to be connected into the abundance that is available to us as his children. Do you know what abundance is? To me, abundance as a child would be when my mum and dad would give me pocket money of 10 old pence, my goodness, whatever that is, and I would run down to the sweet shop and fill a bag of sweets that were almost as big as your head. That was abundance. Am I right, sister? That was abundance. Yeah. You got four blackjacks for a halfpenny, four fruit salad for a halfpenny, and you had 10 pence to go. So you came, there was like a bag of loot. Come on, sweets. Weird. That was abundance to me. So I don't know what abundance looks like to you. For some of us, abundance could be earning every single range from the Apple product. I'm not looking at anybody because I could be, you know, anybody. It could be having the latest piece of software, the latest car, the latest motorbike. But there's an and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, but there's an infinitely better abundance to be tapped into, to be connected into. That's the best expression for each one of us, to be connected into Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit, like standing under a tap that's never going to go off, with abundance being poured and washing over us day by day by day. It's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah? If you're feeling that wonder, why do we ever do this? It's mad, isn't it? It really is crazy, isn't it? And it's that simple. If you're feeling dry and thirsty and dusty and not feeling it, it's as simple as moving back under the tap, moving back to the source. And I don't want to undermine or diminish anybody who's gone through some really painful and difficult circumstances and situations, but truly, in Jesus Christ, it's that simple to move position, to be reconnected with a loving Father. Amen. So I'm going to close with these little thoughts. So as a former Bible student back in the day, we were encouraged to look into Scripture and to always look for the big idea. What is the big idea behind this little piece of Scripture that I'm reading? And I've been thinking about the body being many parts and being, you know, all interlinking, but not just for a practical purpose, for a spiritual purpose. It's so much more than just a body moving. It's a body moving in purpose and spirituality. Three things. The journey, like many churches all over the nations, are called to be connected to one another, connected to a godly vision and purpose, and connected to him. Forget everything else I've said. Don't. But if you choose to, but if that's the only thing that you can remember, apart from the bag of sweets and the fact that I wasn't sure whether I loved Jonathan, Pim, more than Denise, forget all that. The journey, like many other churches, are called to be connected to one another. I really mean connected, woven together so tightly. You know, those cords that Paul talks about, strong ties of love. You know, cords that don't easily get broken. Yeah, take some shifting. That's how you're loved in this community, by the way, if you don't feel it. Strong cords of love. Connected to a godly vision and purpose. We're here for a reason. We're here to see the kingdom of God advance. We're here to see people learn and understand that Jesus is real. We took a big step this year as a community by having a prophetic tent at the village fair. We stepped out. Those of us that were involved, it was a big deal. We just didn't know what was going to happen, and God showed up. It was amazing. God showed up in an amazing way. And that's because we chose to connect ourselves to Him. You know, connect to Him and He'll take care of the rest. That sounds like a really trite statement, but it's so true. I found it time after time after time. If I just connect to Him, if I get connected into His intimacy and stay in the right place, He will show up. Don't know how He does it. He does move in mysterious ways. But time after time, He shows up. So my last 3 minutes, the last couple of weeks, I've been getting up early and staying late because we've been opening this new library building at the the Davidson building. It's been amazing, but it's been so much of my time and energy, and I couldn't sleep, and I knew I had to be to work before 7 a.m. So the alarm was due to go off at 6, but then around 5:30 I stirred and I thought, I might as well get up and awake now. So I went into the bathroom. I like to open the bathroom window, let some fresh air in, you know, a bit of cold air. And as I was standing there, this is the weirdest thing, and I can't explain it any more than that, but I heard a distinct trumpet call. Mad, isn't it? I can't explain it, but it was as real as anything. Now, I knew that there wasn't somebody out there practicing the trumpet at 5:30 in the morning, at least I don't think so. But my sense was that God was reminding me that the trumpet is a symbol of considerable consequence to the church. You know, it can signify an alarm of war, a call to assemble, or a command to march. And this morning, we might scarcely only be around 40, 50 people in this room, and I know the journey's bigger than that in terms of our connections. But let's move together as one, shall we? One body, one heart, one spirit, a community of faith looking to help one another to live in the fullness of abundance and belonging to Jesus Christ, and longing to help others to find that promise for themselves. Amen. Let us give ourselves to this in this new year, this new season. There's nothing new under the sun. This isn't a new season for a lot of us. A lot of us have been passionate about this. But those of us perhaps who have felt for whatever reason that hasn't been their thing, there's no guilt, there's no blame, there's no shame. Let's give ourselves to this season, shall we? Yeah. So, somebody's ringing me. 1 minute left. Vicky'd already done it. We've been praying for one another in different ways. Continue to pray for our students, our current students, our former students, returning students, whatever they do at Royal Holloway. If you can influence and be a part of them, really coming to grips with what it feels like in a strange place, you do that. In the church, give yourself to being part of this community of faith, however that looks to you. Yeah. Everybody's got a part to play in making this continue to be an amazing place to come in friendship, worship, inside and out. Wherever we go, the journey goes with us, doesn't it? There's so many expressions of that. Get involved in what's going on in the community. 24th of September, next door, I think it's at 3 p.m, we've been invited to take part in a quiz, which some of us have been going along to. Be more than welcome to come along, bring a team, and get to know some people next door and connect with them in a different way. There are other ways in connecting through the Forest Estate Community Hub and dealing with that in the community. We've also got the Village Centre as well. Got great expressions of what God wants to do in this community. And finally, a whole number of us that are in the workplace. That's an important place to be influencers and to show people who Jesus is. So I'm going to ask us all to stand. I'm not going to embarrass everybody. If you want to stand, we'll stand, and I'll just pray that each one of us would find time and space to think about giving ourselves to this season. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. If it's your scene and you're not embarrassed to, I just ask you to hold out your hands. You don't have to. This is not meant to be a cheesy thing. But for each one of us who are holding out their hands to receive something from the Holy Spirit to show who God is, I pray that you would bless these hands in Jesus' name. That as we move forward as a community, that would be a real demonstration of showing people who God is. How kind he is, how gracious he is, how merciful, how loving. Father, I thank you for every heart in this room this morning. And I pray that as we stand with you, as we connect with you, that you indeed would show up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.